9. The First Lady of the World, approximately 7 minutes. Walking through the doorway onto a carpeted floor, you have entered a rectangular room about 30 feet long by 10 feet wide, with several glass display cases arranged in the center of the room down its length. About 3 feet in front of you is a small 3 feet high square table with a 3 feet glass enclosed cube displaying Eleanor Roosevelt's typewriter. She used this circa 1904-1905 Smith & Corona typewriter when working on books, articles, and newspaper columns at her Valkill home. The exhibits along the right-hand wall include information about Eleanor's activities after Franklin's death, becoming the First Lady of the World, and include a timeline of her accomplishments over the course of the rest of her life. A text panel to your right proclaims Eleanor the First Lady of the World. The story is over. That is what Eleanor Roosevelt told reporters several days after FDR's death. She seemed to believe, at least for a moment, that her role on the national stage had ended. But ER's story was far from over. From 1945 until her death in 1962, she pursued a host of national and increasingly international causes. She played a critical role in fostering human rights, tirelessly promoted the United Nations, and became one of liberalism's most effective champions. A constant traveler, she crisscrossed the globe, meeting with citizens and world leaders, investigating conditions, and seeking solutions. She became, in President Harry Truman's words, First Lady of the World. About 3 feet along the wall to the left is another text panel to the right that reads, Valkill Cottage in Hyde Park and an apartment in New York City. Though she refused offers to run for political office, ER assured her friends, "My voice will not be silent." She continued to work as a nationally syndicated columnist, lecturer, author, and social activist. Soon, opportunities for public service beckoned. In December 1945, President Harry Truman appointed her to America's first delegation to the United Nations. It was the first of many public challenges ER accepted over the next 17 years, years filled with politics, writing, and travel. A timeline of Eleanor's life from Franklin's death on April 12, 1945, to her death on November 7, 1962, and posthumous nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1963, continues about 20 feet down along this wall to your left. Interspersed along the way are four large-scale wall photographs of Eleanor, various dignitaries, and her children, along with several quotes from Eleanor herself. To listen to the information contained in this timeline, please press 911 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn left, walk about 8 feet, and turn around 180 degrees to face the long plexiglass case in the center of the room. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, please press the right arrow key. About halfway down this timeline is an 8-feet-long table with a rectangular glass case stretching down the center of the room. It displays the many books Eleanor wrote during her lifetime. Text inside the case reads, Prolific Writer. ER maintained her prolific literary output during the post-war years. While continuing to write her six-day-a-week My Day column, she also found time to author 13 books and countless magazine articles. Facing the right wall at the end of the timeline, please retrace your steps back to the typewriter at the head of this exhibit to continue down the other side wall of the gallery. Turn right and walk about 3 feet to the other long wall of the room. The exhibits along the left-hand wall include information about Eleanor's activities as a United Nations delegate and a democratic activist, along with information of her work as a women's rights advocate and civil rights champion. If you'd like to listen to a description of this information, please press 912 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn right and walk about 25 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. About 2 feet beyond the end of the central glass display is a 5-foot-tall metal filing cabinet containing Eleanor Roosevelt's FBI file. To listen to more information about this exhibit, please press 913 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. From a position facing the front of the file cabinet, turn right and walk around the cabinet. Continue about 10 feet further along to a small table against the far wall of this gallery. Within a plexiglass case is a suitcase used by Eleanor on many of her far-flung travels during the 1950s and 60s. The case sits in front of a wall-sized black-and-white photograph that depicts Eleanor Roosevelt alone and outdoors carrying the suitcase at LaGuardia Airport in New York City. From a position facing the suitcase, turn around 180 degrees and walk about 6 feet on a slight angle to the left to a display about ER as a radio and TV personality. To listen to additional information on Eleanor Roosevelt's career as a radio and TV personality, as well as various ER TV segments, please press 914 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. On the wall to the left of this panel is a 5 feet square wall-mounted plexiglass case showing the contents of Eleanor's wallet after her death in 1962. They include materials reflecting her travels and professional associations, as well as more personal items, including a number of poems and prayers. From a position facing this last exhibit, turn around 180 degrees and walk about 5 feet forward. Step off the carpet onto 2 steps and then onto a landing at the top of the stairs. Step from the landing to a carpeted hallway about 20 feet long. There are 2 unisex bathrooms on your left, about 3 and 6 feet ahead. On your right, about 3 feet ahead, is a doorway into a small vestibule off to the right. Immediately to the left, inside the vestibule, is a pair of water fountains. To the right, about 3 feet inside the vestibule, is an elevator. This is the back side of the elevator used to reach the lower level. On your right, about 5 feet past the vestibule doorway, is a 3rd unisex bathroom. About 6 feet further down on your right, beyond the bathroom, is an emergency exit, a set of double wooden doors with panic bar latches. This concludes the 9th section of our tour. The audio description for the next section of our tour, Legacy, begins as you turn left away from the emergency doors at the end of the hallway. You can access the audio description by pressing the rightmost button in the top row of your player's keypad or press 10 on your audio tour player.